Welcome to all those joining us for the Likutei Moran. We'd like to dedicate the shiur today Le'iloi Nishmas Nachman Shimshon ben Avraham Ephraim Yisrael, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Gimel Adar. Also Le'iloi Nishmas Yacha Bas Rebbe Yochaim Halevi, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Gimel Adar. We're in the second half of Likutei Moran, in middle of Torah Tesvov. We started this in the previous shiur, and we left off in the middle. We'll give a little review of what we spoke about so far. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about people who pride themselves, saying that they're capable of doing all kinds of great things, performing miracles and other things. And Rabbeinu Zal said some of them are actually leaders. And he said that their power, their energy comes from great tzaddikim, actual tzaddikim, who actually do have great powers, and they speak about them, they pride themselves with this, and they are capable of serving Hashem on very high level, where even when they eat and drink, they're able to affect major tikkunim, major accomplishments, hamtoka sadinim, they're able to affect a pidyon through that, and some of these tzaddikim, they sometimes speak about themselves, and they say certain great things that they're capable, that they do or capable of doing. And it's from these great tzaddikim who speak openly about their greatness that these phonies are able to draw energy from there, and they go ahead and ape them, they mimic them, making believe as if they're capable of performing these same miracles. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal said, there is another type of tzaddik who conducts himself with tremendous simplicity. They pray, they learn, they do good deeds, and they don't pride themselves openly at all whatsoever. Those tzaddikim, these phonies, this sheker, this falseness, cannot draw any power, any energy from them. Although Rabbeinu Zal said, even though we know that unfortunately, among the phonies, there are some even that put on that type of pretense, as if they'll sit all day with talis and tefillin quietly on the side. They put on a pretense as if they're very humble and everything. But unfortunately, they're misleading people because these people have not yet overcome their taivas rois, their midos rois. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that the tzaddik draws his speech from people, from philanthropists, from people that give tzedakah. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted Psukim to illustrate this. Nidvois pi retzeino Hashem. Hashem should accept the donations, the contributions of my mouth, the connection between nedava, charity, and the mouth, and other Psukim. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say, Rabbeinu Zal said that the tzaddik is compared to a bechor. Bechor means firstborn, and bechor also means kingdom, leadership. And just like the Bechor gets a double portion when it comes to inheritance, so too the words that come out of the mouth of a tzaddik can have a double connotation. It can have a connotation of truth, or chas v'shalom, the opposite, which these people, these false phony people, are able to connect to and draw from. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say, the truth is that there's a tremendous benefit to the tzaddik in the fact that there are these false people, these phony people, because there are rishoim, wicked people who commit major sins with women, other types of sins, and their tzedakah, if their tzedakah were to generate the speech of the tzaddik, it could be very harmful to him. And therefore, Hashem has these tzvuim, these phonies, and what happens is, these major sinners end up giving their charities to them, to these phonies, and as a result, the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, aren't harmed by that, are not able to be harmed by that. This is pretty much what we covered last week, and now we'll go into the Gemara that Rabbeinu Zal quotes on this and shows the connection, and then, Yitz Hashem, I'd like to also read from the Likutei Tfilos on this chapter, to see exactly how Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in Likutei Tfilos. Okay, now Rabbeinu Zal tells us, Vezehu, what we've been speaking about till now, is related to the story in the Gemara, in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera, Shoal Rabbi Zera, es Rav Yehuda, my taima gamla zutri genuvsei, v'toyrei aricha genuvsei. Why is it that camels have a relatively short tail and cows have a longer tail? And the Gemara says the reason why camels have this shorter tail is mishum da'achli kisi, because they eat thorns and they're prevalent, they're around those things, and if they had a long tail, these thorns would get caught in their trail and in their tail and give them pain. My time a toira aricha gonna say, and why is it that the cow has this long tail? Mishum de dair biagmi, because they wander around sometimes in swampy areas where there are a lot of flies, mosquitoes, things like that. Uboy le karkushe boki. And they need the tail to be able to chase away these mosquitoes, these flies. Rabbi Nazal says, "Vizehu sheshal Rabbi Zeres Rabbi Yehuda, my timer gamla zutrei gnufse v'toyra ariche gnufse." Gamla, the Aramaic word gamla means a camel, but also zebechinas hatzadik haposhut. The term gamla also can be used to represent the simple tzaddik, the one that doesn't have a lot of publicity, that doesn't pride himself openly. Bibichinas, as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim in chapter 131, V'loi holachti bigdoilois v'neflois. I did not carry myself with greatness and wonders. I didn't publicize miracles that I perform. Kigomul alei imoi. But rather, I was like a baby that still needs its mother, that's still close to its mother. Kihu misnaheg bepshitus. Because this tzaddik conducts himself with the utmost of simplicity. Ve'enoi medaber gedoilois. He doesn't speak greatness about himself at all whatsoever. V'chol avoidosoi hu bebechina shtika. And his service of Hashem is performed low profile, quiet. Ki ein yoytze mipiv gedoilois v'neflois. You don't hear from his mouth him speaking greatness about himself, miracles that he performs, v'hurak kegomul aleimoi. But rather, he conducts himself with the simplicity of a small child that still needs its mother. V'zeu bechinas gamla, that's the term gamla. V'zutre genuvse ze bechinas novi umoire sheker. The tail, which is a zonov in Hebrew, represents a false prophet, as we had quoted the pasuk earlier in the previous year, a pasuk in Yeshaya Novi, where it said, "Umoire sheker hu hazonov," that the false prophet is compared to a tail. Hainu elu hatzvuim. This refers to these phonies, hameshakrim, who lie. Bechinas neviyei hasheker, false prophets, sheachizosom hu rak batzadikim hagdoilim kanal. Whereby they draw their energy, their power, from the tzaddikim who carry themselves with a lot of publicity, with a lot of fanfare. Aval b'hat tzaddikim apshutim shein b'chinas gamla, whereas the simple tzaddikim, who we said before are referred to as gamla, ein lohem achiza kol kach. To those tzaddikim, these phonies can't really draw from. V'zehu zutrei genuvsei, and this is why it says, the tail is small, meaning their ability to draw from the gomel is very small. Vezehu toire aricha gnuvsei. Whereas the cow, it has this long tail. Ze bechinas hatzadikim hagedoilim. The term toire, which refers to a shoyer, an ox or a cow, that represents those tzadikim who are very public. Bechinas bechoyer shoyroi hodarloi. As again, we quoted this pasuk in the previous year, referring to the tzaddik that's out there in public, that's referred to as this bechoyer shoyroi. V'aricha gnuvsei, and his tail is long, hainu she'iker yenikas hanovi umoira sheker shuazonov hurak etzlom. What this is showing us is that the zonov, these false prophets, from these tzaddikim who are very public, from them, these false prophets are able to draw a lot. V'zehu sheheshiv. And this is why Rabbi Huda responded to Rabbi Zeira, Mishum da'achli koitzi. Hainu she'elu. The reason why the camel's tail is short is because the camel eats thorns. Hainu she'elu hatzadikim hapshutim shehem bechinas gamla. These simple tzadikim who keep a very low profile, who we refer to as gamla, achli koitzi she'oichlim u'mechalim es hakoitzim v'hachoivchim hasoivvim es hasheshan elyona. These tzadikim are involved in eating up and destroying the thorns that surround the heavenly rose. The Shekhinah is compared to the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana bein hachoichim, like a beautiful rose among the thorns, Kain rayasi bein habonois, so too is my beloved among the other daughters. That's how the Shekhinah, or the Jewish maiden, is among the non-Jewish girls. She stands out like a rose among the thorns. So these tzaddikim, these simple tzaddikim, through their avodah, through their Torah and tefillah and the way they conduct themselves, they're involved in destroying these thorns, these klipos, these forces of tumah that surround the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, sifsoisov shoshanim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim again, which refers to the lips as red like roses. And again, this is a description of the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem. Kiheim oiskim batoyrav avoido yom valayla. Because these simple tzaddikim are involved in studying and teaching Torah and serving Hashem day and night. That's what's on their lips. Umechalin kol hachoichim. And they destroy all of these thorns, these klipos, these forces of tumah, shelo yilehem yemiko mehadibur hakodosh, that they should not be able to draw any energy from the holy words of Torah and Tefillah that these tzaddikim are speaking. Ki me'avoida pshuta bitmimus ein lahem yinika kanal. Because when a tzaddik conducts himself with this kind of simplicity and sincerity and low profile, these forces of tumah cannot draw energy and power from there. Ki einam yecholim lizdames aleihem velinoik sheker shalehem al yodom, because these phonies cannot imitate and mimic these tzaddikim in their with their falseness. Me'achar shehanagosam rak betmimus ubepshitas, since these tzaddikim are keeping a low profile, simple, and for these phonies, that's not going to work for them. That's not going to accomplish the goals that they have, which are public fame and wealth. V'toiri arichogunum say, whereas the cow, the ox, its tail is long, mishum de dairi biagmi, because they are very often found in swampy areas where there are mosquitoes, flies, gnats, those things. Uboi lekarkushe boki, and they need to chase away these rodents, these mosquitoes and flies. Rabbi Nizal explains, the dairi biagmi, the word agam means a swampy area, but the dahainu shemekablim dibur pihem hakodosh mibalei tzedakah. In the previous year, when Rabbi Nizal had explained how the tzaddikim draw their speech from people who give charity, he quoted the pasuk mibchinas hahoyfchi hatzur agam mayim. These are people who take the stone heart, the heart of stone, and they melt it, they make it into a water that flows, that kind of agam mayim, like a pool of water. Vezehu dedairi biagmi uboi lekarkushe boki b'chinas yaboi kanal. The word boki, which means mosquitoes, these flies, is the same letters as the name of Hashem we referred to earlier in the previous year, as Yaboik, Yichud Bracha Kedusha, that we spoke about. Shetzrichin legaroish hayaboik shel hatzdoko shenoisnem reshoim. The tzaddikim need to be able to push away, to reject the Yaboik that's formed by the charity that wicked people are giving, people who are major sinners. Ki etzlom nifgam hayaboy kanal. Because by these major rishoim, the yaboik is defective, it's damaged. V'goyrem ro lahatzadik. And it would cause harm to the tzadik Shemekabel Diber Piv Mehem, who draws his speech from this tzedakah. So this is why V'alkein Hu Toiva Gedoila, and this is why it's a tremendous benefit, Masheyonik Mehem Hanovi Shehu Hazanov, the fact that the false prophets, the phonies, they're the ones who receive those charities that are coming from these Rishoim. This allows the true tzaddikim to be able to push away these rishoim from themselves. Because again, these people who aren't really worthy and deserving of giving their charity to the right places, to the right person, they end up giving the charity to these phonies. Shepoinen aleim, they turn to them. V'noisin lahem atzdaka, they give the charity to them. V'nitzoilim hatzadikim, and the true tzadikim are saved from the harm that would come to them if they were to receive these monies. And then their speech would be affected by these monies, and their speech would not be a holy speech. This is the Torah in Likutei Moran, and it's a little unusual. I don't know if I ever did this before, but I think it would be tremendously benefit. We have the Breslov Research translation of the Likutei Tfilos, which is done very, very well. I'd like to review for a moment a brief summary of the Torah and then read the prayer to really make sure we understand clearly and completely what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here. The philanthropists who donate their money to support a true tzaddik give him his power of speech. Some great tzaddikim are able to serve Hashem through everything in the world, not just through Torah and Tefillah, but even through eating, drinking, and by which they're able to sweeten divine judgments and bring about redemptions. And some of these tzaddikim speak about themselves openly and publicly. They speak about miracles that they perform. The way that these great tzaddikim describe themselves, unfortunately, is imitated by hypocrites who boast falsely about being wonder workers as though nothing is beyond them. The principal energy of these hypocrites comes from this class of tzaddikim who say great things about themselves. But there's another class of simple tzaddikim who serve Hashem without saying great things about themselves. Although, Rabbeinu Zal has said, there are some charlatans who take on that persona, meaning that they also, they make believe that they're humble and they're very simple, but they have much less power to mislead people than the others that are much more robust and public. Among the philanthropists who give charity to tzaddikim, there are some very wicked people, and their charity would harm the true tzaddik by harming his speech. And fortunately, these wicked donors are often misled into giving their charity to these phonies, these charlatans, rather than to the true tzaddik. This is a summary from Kitzur Likutei Moran of the Torah. And now we go into the prayer. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hashem, who is filled with compassion, the Hashem who is the ultimate in truth, shield me and protect me from liars and hypocrites. Have compassion on me, guard me and rescue me so that I'll never taint myself by lying or speaking even any trace of a lie. May my mouth never pronounce a false or hypocritical word, heaven forbid. May it never occur to me to take credit for any attainments that are beyond me and greater than what I can achieve. May I never fool myself or others. Master of the world, you know the great, mighty, exalted, holy level of the true tzaddikim and of their precious, beautiful greatness as reflected in their accomplishments. At times, these tzaddikim, it's their practice to make truly great and wondrous, awesome statements in all truthfulness and sincerity about their achievements. All of their words are true and justified. We find in the Gemara, in the Zohar Kodesh, we find Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who wrote in the Torah the words that Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person that ever lived. and that there never rose up again a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the Gemara, we find cases of rabbis who spoke about themselves with greatness. When we hear the great things and wonders that they say about themselves with their holy and awesome mouths, we can know and recognize your greatness. By hearing the greatness of tzaddikim, we can imagine how great Hashem is. You have given your wisdom to those who fear you and have empowered your true tzaddikim to attain such great levels and tell the truth of their great achievements. But in your mighty wondrousness and great wisdom, you've balanced good with evil, and thus you've made it possible for people to err. Therefore, there are liars and hypocrites who, like monkeys imitating human beings, these people exist in opposition to the tzaddikim, and they boast of their own great attainments and wonders as though nothing is impossible to them. They use expressions similar to all of the great and awesome words that come forth truly, truthfully, from the mouths of the tzaddikim, but they're telling lies. Therefore, I ask you, who are filled with compassion, you Hashem, to have compassion on us and on your entire nation. Guard us and rescue us from the liars and hypocrites who clothe themselves in garments that are not really theirs, who falsely boast of having achieved great and wondrous matters. Guard us and rescue us, guardian of the Jewish people, so that we won't be fooled by them. We won't desire them. We won't listen to them. May they have no power or dominion to harm us at all. Pour true awareness into us so that we'll recognize and choose truth and come close to the true tzaddikim and those who sincerely join them and place our portion with them forever. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues about the issue of giving charity. Help us give a great deal of charity with pleasant expression, meaning with joy and happiness, to truly worthy and decent poor people. Help us break the cruelty of our heart and transform it into compassion, so that our heart will not be as hard as stone. Help us transform our heart of stone to a heart as soft as water, so that we'll truly have appropriate great compassion on worthy, decent, poor people, and give them everything they need. With our charity, make great unifications in great elevated holiness. Let our tzedakah bring about these yichudim. Empower us so that our charity will bring about unification, blessing, and holiness in all of the holy worlds to the highest epitome. Please, Hashem, you who love charity and judgment, in your vast compassion, make it possible for us to fulfill the mitzvah of charity completely in accordance with your goodwill, with all of its details and particulars and intentions and all the 613 commandments that are dependent on charity. Help us by means of this charity nullify and break any wrong types of desires, chas v'shalom, especially sinful desires for women. Separate us from the hypocrites and liars. Do not allow unworthy poor people to cause us to stumble, chas v'shalom, to appropriate our money to the wrong places. In your vast compassion, guard us so that we won't blemish the unity, blessing, and holiness that's brought about by charity, a blemish that ends up strengthening the desire for sin, chas v'shalom, especially the wrong types of sins between men and women. You who are filled with compassion, you who desire loving kindness, do not judge me in accordance with my deeds. Do not act with me in accordance with my transgressions. Have compassion on me in accordance with your great compassion and great loving kindness. Don't allow the outside forces, the klipos, the forces of tumah, to derive energy from my charity, heaven forbid. May they not have the power to damage this unification, blessing, and holiness that's brought about when I give charity. Don't give them the power to increase my desire for sin, chas v'shalom, heaven forbid. because my sole intent in giving charity, which you, in your vast compassion, make it possible for me to give, is to fulfill the mitzvah of giving charity in order to please you, in order to give you, Hashem, satisfaction. You commanded us in your holy Torah to give charity. You urged us regarding this a great deal and repeatedly. My entire intent in giving charity is to rectify, not to damage, heaven forbid. Therefore, I spread my hands out to you, Hashem, to your compassion, so that you'll guard me from unworthy poor people. Be with me always, rescue me and guard me so that outside forces will have no power or dominion to draw energy from my charity and will not be able to damage it in any way. May I give all my charity in the manner of the true tzaddikim, who are great in nature. May they raise my mitzvah of charity, these tzaddikim, and with it make and bring about great divine unifications at the highest levels with truly ultimate supernal holiness. May my charity give you satisfaction and great delight. Make it possible for me to entirely break the desire for sin and truly rectify the covenant, the Tikkun HaBris, as a result of the power and merit of my charity. You who are good and do good to all, make it possible for me to increase my charity to the worthy poor with great holiness in accordance with your goodwill, so that this charity will constitute a great rectification from all the different parts of my soul, my nefesh, ruach, and neshama, so that when my soul goes up to heaven, it won't come in shame, chas v'sham. Guard your entire nation, the righteous and the worthy, whose income derives from charity, so that they won't receive any blemished charity, chas v'sham, from salacious, wicked men whose charity damages those who receive it. Rather, in your vast compassion, bring about a positive chain of events so that all of the charity of all the wicked and salacious people will go to the liars and hypocrites. May the true tzaddikim and worthy people be saved from them, from receiving their blemished charity, so that their blemished charity will not damage the speech of the holy mouth that the tzaddikim attain as a result of receiving charity from generous people. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds a tefillah about Parnassa. Hashem, bring us and the entire Jewish people an honorable, worthy income. May the side of evil have no opportunity to seize hold of our income at all. Rather, may we attain good income with honor and ease, with holiness and great purity, so that it will truly be in accordance of your goodwill. Make it possible for me to study your holy Torah and truly serve you with all my heart. May I not enter into matters that are greater and more wondrous than I can grasp. Rather, may I calm and quiet my soul like a child nursing from its mother. Kagomul aleimoi. May I engage in Torah and prayer with a full mouth, so that among all of the worthy people in Israel, I'll cut off, destroy, and burn away all of the thorns and brambles that surround the supernal rose, the divine spirit of Hashem, the Shekhinah. May the liars and hypocrites who boast falsely have no power whatsoever to derive power from our speech. Burn away falsehood entirely and reveal the truth in the world. May the pasuk be quickly realized, a lip of truth shall be established forever, but a tongue of falsehood is merely for a moment. Kindness and truth have met, righteousness and peace have kissed, truth will sprout from the earth and righteousness will gaze down from heaven. Guide me in your truth and teach me, because you are the Hashem of my salvation. It's for you that I yearn and hope all day. Do not utterly separate a word of truth from my mouth, because I hope for your justice, Hashem, for your truth. Hashem, may my prayer come before you at a time of favor. Hashem, in your vast kindness, answer me in the truth of your salvation. This is a prayer that Rav Nosson Zal wrote on this Torah, where he expresses all of the ideas that Rav Nosson Zal speaks about here. Any questions, please?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Who are the unworthy poor, for example?
Sure. It could mean people who aren't really poor, people who definitely have what they need, and unfortunately, they're going around, you know, trying to solicit people under false pretenses. People sometimes who make up stories, false stories. The Gemara speaks about this. There's a Mishnah where the Mishnah says that a person who will try to put on a false pretense as if they're blind, because they know that to an ordinary person going around collecting charity, people will give them $1 or $2. If they see a person who's blind, that invokes much more pity and everything. They'll give that person $10 or $50 or more, that kind of thing. And the Gemara gives several examples of this. A person who's blind, a person who's crippled, a person who's this. And the Gemara actually says that a person who puts on this type of false pretense will not leave the world until they actually become blind or they actually become a cripple. That'll be their punishment. So my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, was learning this and he thought about it and he mentioned that what about those people who put on a false pretense as if they're a tzaddik? They go around telling people they pray all day and they study all day. They have major yeshivas with lots of students, and giving charity here is the best thing you could possibly do for yourself. You'll be blessed immediately, whatever you need. You don't have children. I promise you, you'll have a child. You know, this type of thing. Does the Gemara mean that by doing that, by putting on a pretense, a false pretense of being a tzaddik, the punishment will be that the person becomes a tzaddik? And he mentioned, my rabbi mentioned, his understanding of this was that the person starts off initially fooling others. But the person knows themselves. They know that it's not true, that they're lying, that it's a false pretense. The punishment is that the person will start believing it themselves. They'll start believing that they're really great and holy, etc., and they can perform miracles and everything when it's not true. And once a person starts fooling themselves to that extent, then they're really in trouble. Because so long as a person knows and understands their weaknesses and their shortcomings, they can try to improve. They can go to a doctor. They can go to a tzaddik and ask him to help them. When a person falsely believes that they're a tzaddik and they aren't, that's the worst punishment, chas v'shalom. Because that person will not seek help, chas v'shalom, and the person will find themselves, when they come to the moment of truth in the world of truth, it's very embarrassing. Any other questions, please?
Why is Purim the one exception about in terms of giving tzedakah? Usually when you give tzedakah or a meister, you're supposed to look into their legitimacy to give. Why is Purim the one exception?
Very good, timely, appropriate question. The wording in the Gemara is that on Purim, exactly as you said, that usually a person should use discretion when they're giving charity. But on Purim, kol ha-poishet yad, anyone who puts out their hand, noisenly, we give them. This tells us a little bit about Purim. When we speak about Hashem, Hashem has different attributes. Hashem's 10 spheros, the 10 attributes, they're divided into two levels, the 7 lower ones and the 3 upper ones. The 7 lower ones appear as right and left, right and left. There's chesed on the right, there's gvura on the left. There's netzach on the right, there's hod on the left. There's kindness and harshness. There's both. Whereas we're told, when we go to a higher level of the spirit of Hashem, there is no concept of right and left. There's only wall-to-wall kindness, in a sense. There's such a high level of kindness that there's no judgment whatsoever there. And we're told that Purim is one of the unique times in the year when we can tap into that. When we tap into the highest level of kindness of Hashem, where there's no judgment at all. There, it's just pure kindness. And one of the ways that we tap into that is by us putting aside our judgment. We're not being judgmental at all. We're giving everyone. That doesn't mean we're giving everybody equally, but it means we're not rejecting anyone completely. Whoever puts out the hand, we're giving. Whereas during the year, I might use more discretion, and before I give it all, I'll investigate. On Purim, if I know the person and I know that what they're all about, I'll give them what I understand. If I don't know the person, I won't let them leave without giving them some donation, some contribution. Now, there are some people who even throughout the year, they try to conduct themselves that way, that they try not to refuse anyone. They try to show again this because of the fact that I need Hashem to treat me with kindness, without any judgment. So I try to be nice to everybody and I try not to refuse anyone. I'll give everyone, but again, with discretion. A person who I know and I really know what they represent, I'll give appropriately. Person who I don't know, if I'll give them, I'll give something. You know, that kind of thing. It's brought that Purim represents, if you recall, we learned not long ago in chapter 12 in Likudei Moharan, we were learning about the 10 statements of creation. 9 of them are revealed statements. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, let there be light. Hashem said, let the waters gather. The highest one, the first one of these 10 statements of creation is called the hidden statement, Maimar Sosum. And we said that these 10 statements correspond to the 10 attributes of Hashem. That hidden statement corresponds to the Keser, the crown, which is the highest, highest level of kindness. Where there again, there's no concept of a left side, right and left. It's all pure, pure wall-to-wall kindness. And the Torah portion that we read on Purim, the Megillah, has no mention of Hashem in it in any obvious way whatsoever. No mention at all. It's called Megillas Esther. It's the revelation of the hiddenness. The hiddenness. The Megillah seems on the surface to just be a regular story that could appear anywhere, you know. But we know that it's that Maimar Sosum. It has incredible secrets and depth in it, and it taps into that highest place, that Keser. I remember, my Rabbi Rav Rosenfeld once quoted one of the Meforshim that says that the word Purim has in it all of the holidays to show that Purim is so high level of holiness that it encompasses in it all of the holiness of all the different holidays. The Pei stands for Pesach, the Vav stands for the Sukkos, the Resh is Rosh Hashanah, the Yud is Yom Kippur, and the Mem is Matan Torah, the day the Torah was given, which is Shavuos, showing that this holiday is really in a class of its own in certain ways. Nothing is coincidence. The fact that we're speaking about this now, and yesterday was Rosh Chodesh Adar, we've entered into the month. We have 1 week this week and the following week. At the end of the following week, Thursday will be Tainus Esther. Thursday night is Purim. And in Yerushalayim, Purim will be 3 days. It's called Purim HaMeshulash, which comes once in many years. And this is a time. This is a time when Klal Yisrael, throughout the generations, went through all kinds of crisis, difficulties. And Purim is a time when we reached a point where it seemed like it couldn't get any worse in terms of the combination of Haman and Ahasuerus and Vashti while she was living, and Haman's 10 sons and all the people that joined that were submissive completely to this idol Haman. The decree had already been signed and sealed to destroy the Jews completely. And it was approved in heaven because the Gemara says there were things that we did that made us qualify for this kind of destruction. And yet the tzaddikim, Mordechai and Esther, through their prayers, through their fasting, by bringing Klal Yisrael together, Leich Kenoises Kol Ayudim, gathering together, bringing about a unity in Klal Yisrael. One of the things that unites people is charity. Charity brings together opposites, two opposites, a wealthy person and a poor person, a needy person, a one who is in need, and a one who has the ability to fill that need. And on Purim is when we saw the victory of the good over the evil. We're hoping as to have a campaign for Purim in Mi'etz Hashem that'll be sent shortly to assist the many, many people in our community, the people that we know very well. Many of them struggle under normal circumstances, but with the circumstances that we've had this year, from last year Purim till today, it's put people in a completely different situation of struggle. Hashem should help that the zechus of the tzedakah and the prayers and the goodwill of all of Klal Yisrael should bring about the complete refuah and yeshua and geula that all of us need. Any questions before we go on to the next Torah?
So, Rabbi, charity from wicked people is definitely harmful to the speech of the tzaddikim, right? Did I understand that right?
Correct.
So charity from wicked people in general can be said something harmful, or that's just a stretch on my part? Because that's something that has been, you know, a question that I've had probably throughout my whole life, quite frankly. I don't know what to think of that. So you're touching something that's meaningful to me. So that's what I'm asking.
Rabbi Nachman quoted the Gemara where the prophet Yirmiyahu Hanavi, during his time, he was being persecuted by people who were very wicked who wanted to kill him. And he prayed to Hashem, Hashem, please direct their charity to people who don't really deserve charity. See to it that their charity should not go to righteous people. So we see that this is mentioned in the Gemara. This is a reality in the world that we're living in, that there's good and bad. We mentioned previously the story with the Baal Shem Tov, that there was a community that was reading from a Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and every Shabbos, every time they'd read, they'd find mistakes. And they gave it to a sofer to look over, check over, look ahead into the next week so we don't have any problems. Sure enough, next week they go to read from it, mistake again, problem again. And it was strange. And they decided to seek the advice of a tzaddik. They went to the Baal Shem Tov and they told him about this. And he said to them, this Sefer Torah, no matter how much you're going to try to correct it, it will never be good. Because the money that was used to purchase this Sefer Torah was money that was earned from gambling. And unfortunately, that money is so tainted, the words of the Torah cannot have their true effect.
Very, very interesting. Thank you.
Sure. Hikshu, they asked the question. Torah Tez Zayin, chapter 16. Hikshu, they asked the question, Mipnei ma kishe'oto mevakesh parnosa, ein noisen loy tekef min ha-shamayim. Why is it when a person approaches Hashem, asking Hashem to provide them with parnosa, with their livelihood, usually the person doesn't receive it immediately, directly from Hashem, kiim al yidei sibois, but rather it comes to the person usually through different types of intermediaries, or through different circumstances. One person, it comes to them as a paycheck from the company that they're working from. Another one, it comes to them through an investment that they made, or a business deal, a transaction, a sale, a purchase. L'kol echot l'fi sibosoi, to each and every person through the circumstances that the person receives that parnasa. Shezet zorich lizroya tvua v'lachroish v'liktzor. One person has to plant and they have to plow and harvest. One person is involved in agriculture. Another person has to travel to a different country to purchase merchandise over there, or to produce merchandise in a different country and then have it shipped, brought back to the country that they live in order to sell it. And all kinds of other similar scenarios. Why doesn't Hashem give the person immediately, at the time that they ask for this parnasa, why don't they receive cash or their food, whatever it is? We know that Hashem doesn't have any limitations. Why doesn't Hashem do it that way? V'hateretz, the answer is, da, you should know, shekol ha-parnosa shel Yisrael tzrichin lekabel al yidei ha-melech. The livelihood of a Jew must come to them via the king, via the attribute of Malchus. Kama shekosu b'melech, as we find in the prophet Daniel, when the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, which he couldn't figure out what the interpretation of it was, and Daniel, the prophet, was the one who interpreted the dream for him, and he told Nebuchadnezzar, Ilono di Chazis, that great, powerful tree that you saw in your dream, the Rabba v'tokaf, which was great and powerful, umozoin l'choyla bay, and it had food on it for everyone. Antumalka, that was you. That was you, the king. That tree represented you. So that Parnasa comes via the Malchus. Vekar, we know that when we speak about the Midos of Hashem, we're told that Hashem's light comes down from above, from the highest levels, and it comes down via the ladder of the Midos of Hashem. Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and it comes down all the way to the bottom, which is the Malchus, and from there, it's distributed to the world. There's a remez brought to this. The Arizal says, in the sentence that we say, Poseach es yodecho, umasbia l'chol chai rotzayim, Hashem, open your hands and provide for everyone their needs, their desires. So it's brought that the words l'chol chai rotzayim, the first letters of l'chol chai rotzayim, spell the word Rachel. Rachel, which is one of the nicknames of the Shekhinah, the Malchus, the divine spirit of Hashem. Ve'ikar ha-Malchus hu al yedei anova. Now, Rabbein Azal explains the whole concept of a king, a ruler, a boss, is through humility. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Mishlei, ve'lifnei kovoid anova. Before kovoid, a prerequisite for kavod, for honor, for respect, is humility. She'ikr kovoid ugdula samalchus hualidei anova daika. The true respect and greatness of kingdom is when it's acquired through humility. We speak about a government by the people, for the people. A true government, a true leader, is one who's leading, who understands that his position is leadership. Leader means to lead the people, to be always looking to see not what's in it for me, but what's in it for them, what benefit, to be able to take himself out of the picture and really concentrate, really focus on what's good for the ones whom they're leading. Kichein derech hamalchus b'chol pam. Because this is the way that kingdom and leadership work all the time. Shetzorich sheyakdim anova lichvoidai ugdulasoi. A person must first start with humility, and if they achieve that in a real proper way, that will lead them to a kosher, healthy kingdom leadership. If the person is arrogant and the opposite, they may get leadership, but it'll be temporary. We know that in chapter 6 in Likut Imran, one of the very famous chapters in Likut Imran, Rabbein Azal begins there by saying, Ki tzorech kol odom lema'et b'chvoid atzmoy u'laharbois b'chvoid amokoyim. Every person has to see to it to diminish their own respect and to increase the kavod for Hashem. And Rabbein Azal shows there, a person who does this, a person who avoids any personal kavod. They're not looking for me, I did this, I made this. They're not looking to glorify themselves. That person, the respect that they earn is a respect which nobody questions. People realize that it's beyond reproach. Whereas those people who are looking for kavod, those people who are chasing after kavod, they want to be leaders, they want publicity, they want authority. By them, when they receive kavod, they're always under investigation. Rabbein Azal quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, kvoid malachim chakor davar. When the kavod is a divine kavod, it's haster davar. It's something that's hidden. People know that it cannot be questioned. It's something very hidden. It's above us. Whereas when a person acquires kvoid malachim, a respect that was not earned and achieved through sincere humility, then it's something that's always under investigation. Unfortunately, we're living this today in major countries in the world. And Rabbein Azal gives an example of this that applies to every one of us. Kimoy shebechol yoim, just like in every day of a person's life, B'sho shekom mimitosoi, when a person wakes up, she'azai adayin hu bekatnus, at that point, that person is in a very low, simple state, meaning shemalubosh b'malbushim pshutim, the person's wearing pajamas. They're not wearing their respectable clothing. They're wearing their most simple clothing, the clothing they go to sleep in. V'gam ponov einoi betzachus v'zakus adayin. And so too, the person's face isn't shining and clear yet, koidem orechitza, because they haven't washed their face yet from the sleep during the night. V'achar kach meyape atzmoi, but after the person gets up, then they beautify themselves, umislabish bebig they kovoid, they put on their respectable clothing, umispashit bigdulosoi, and the person, their true greatness extends itself, kederech hamelech, like a king, like royalty. V'cheinom razal, and we find the Gemara says something similar to this, mipneima loinim shechom alchusoi shel shol. Why is it that the kingdom of Shaul HaMelech couldn't last? It was very short-lived. Mipnei shelo hoya boy shum doifi, because he didn't have any darkness in his background. His kingdom was not preceded by some kind of a darkness. Ki ein memanin panes al atzibur elim kein kupo shel shrotzun tolui me'achoyrov. The Gemara says, because we don't appoint a leader over the people unless he has a bag of worms behind him. Meaning, why? She'im tazuach daito yolov, so that if he'll ever become arrogant and say, I'm so great, oimrim loy, we tell him, kalech me'acharecha, look behind you. You don't come from such greatness, you're not so... You know, it's to keep the person in check. So we see once again that there's a need for this humility to precede the respect. Ki ikar hamalchus al yidei anofo kanal. Because the true, healthy, kosher kingdom and leadership and authority comes through humility. V'chol ma sheyesh lemelech anofo biyoyser, mispashet malchusa biyoyser. The more that a king has a greater degree of humility, the more his kingdom will be greater. He'll be accepted by more people and accepted in a better way, his leadership and authority. We'll hold it over here for now. We'll continue. This is an introduction, sort of. Rabbeinu Zal now is going to explain the concept of the parnosa coming from the Malchus. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. Hopefully, Em Yitz Hashem, next Sunday we'll have the final shiur before Purim. And I hope we'll also have some interesting insights that relate to Purim.
Thank you.
Sure. All the best.
Thank you so much.